It's 846 4CA. Well, the last federal election was possibly the turning point, the point where the climate wars ended. But sadly, we still have a very vocal minority who refuse to accept the mountain of independent scientific data that supports the facts of climate change. There is no doubt now that we are basically at a point where our existence is under threat. Time to move on, though, and I guess no more pandering to that vocal minority. The Australian public have made a fairly solid decision, and I think the last election basically proves that they take climate change very, very seriously, and they want a lot more done about it. Interestingly, from an Australian perspective, Australia has been identified by a number of respected sources as a climate change hotspot, with all major sectors of the economy considered vulnerable or highly vulnerable to the anticipated adverse impacts of climate change. Well, a local guy that I've managed to meet and spend time with quite a bit over the years has just released a textbook called Surviving the Climate Crisis, Australian Perspectives and Importantly, Solutions. Adjunct Professor in Environmental Geography at CQU, Steve Turton, good morning and welcome along to The Breakfast Show.
Thank you, Murray. Great to be here.
Congratulations on what is really a landmark publication, specifically on this subject, and particularly with Australia. And it's interesting with the title there, Surviving the Climate Crisis, Australian Perspectives and Solutions. So obviously it's a background that gives you a lot of information about the mountain of evidence there, but you also focus on solutions, Steve.
That's right, Murray. I don't think there's any point writing a book like this and not actually saying to the readers, you know, there are pathways, if you like, that we can take. We are taking them now, but we need to ramp it up so that we can actually benefit in the long term and we become sustainable. So I thought if I write a negative book, no one's going to particularly warm to it.
Mm.
So I have solutions. And the other thing too is, you know, Australia is definitely on the front lines of climate change. And some of the learnings from Australia, like, for example, bushfire management, you know, given that the 2019-20 bushfires were basically globally unprecedented, 21% of the continent burned, that's massive. Learnings from Australia can actually be exported to other countries as they start to develop things like bushfires, as we've seen, for example, in the United States and Canada this last year. So learnings from Australia is another thing. So the book has an international sort of aspect to it as well, although it's written specifically about Australia.
Now, it's been regarded as one of the most up-to-date resources available. It fills a knowledge gap in an ever-increasing hot topic for the country, its people, economy, and, of course, the environment. Let's talk a little bit more about the economy, because I guess that's one of the things that means that Australia has decided that they take this very, very seriously. And I guess that's why climate change is no longer the left of politics. It's very much front and centre. From your perspective as a scientist, how was it for you personally dealing with some of those economic issues?
Well, as you've said, I mean, it's really core to, you know, how we function as a sustainable society. If our economy's in peril and we haven't got sustainable industries, then we're going to start going backwards. So what I've tried to do in focusing on the economy is just look at the sectors that are most vulnerable to climate change. Obviously, agriculture is definitely out there, tourism, mining, you know, energy and transportation, they're important sectors as well. And, of course, construction and manufacturing. So they're the ones that have been identified as most vulnerable. I don't cover all economic sectors. I could have, but it would have been a very big book. So I look at those sectors that I think are very important, and they're very much dependent on the health of our natural capital. So closer to home, tourism, of course, depends very heavily on health and vitality, the ecosystems that people come to see in the Cairns area, the Great Barrier Reef, and, of course, the wet tropics rainforests. So all of that is important to the economy. So I look at those sort of individually, and I come up with kind of pathways that could lead to solutions to dealing with some of the threats of climate change.
I've read some of your more serious writings before, and they can be fairly dense. With this particular textbook, it's deemed to be ideal for advanced undergraduate and graduate students with limited science backgrounds. It will inform those undertaking business, management, sustainability, educational, environmental, development or heritage studies and other social science programs. So obviously with this underpinning science and I guess the changes that we need to make in this country, you've made it very accessible to that wider audience as well.
Yeah, so when I wrote this textbook, I was targeting advanced undergraduates, so students, say, in third year of university. They've already done those foundation subjects or courses, but also people doing master's programs. So I was thinking, you know, MBA degrees, for example. They need to know about these things. There's plenty of books written about climate change and climate science. I try to cover that in one chapter as well. What I've tried to do with this book is articulate it for that particular audience who probably may not have done science in high school or may have done a little bit of science. They've come to uni, they haven't actually done any science training at all, so they're struggling a bit with the physics and chemistry, which is critical to the whole process of the greenhouse effect. Trying to bring that down to a level that's fairly straightforward, and then saying, okay, how could this be useful to your particular degree? So business degrees, business has to engage with climate change adaptation and mitigation. Otherwise, business is going nowhere. Businesses will just collapse. So that's why I said I thought it would be useful for people doing master's programs. Yes, I think it'll be read by people doing science degrees as well.
Sure.
Then they can be exposed to the economic and social side of things. But I think when you write a textbook, you've got to make it very clear what the market is likely to be.
Yeah.
Because the publisher, you know, they're taking you on. I'm not putting money into the book. They're going to make money from the book, hopefully, and I'll get some honorariums from it. But the reality is that you have to make a book useful for it to be a textbook.
Mm.
And hopefully I'll be invited to do a second edition in 3 or 4 years' time when we've got more updated science coming in. So that's the great thing about a textbook is you can go to multiple editions over time.
Yep, sure. I think it fills an important gap because I guess that's one of the things that's got the clear majority of Australians over the line is the fact that, you know, certainly these economic aspects and these social aspects are likely to cause irreversible damage to our country and to our economy unless we start to take these things seriously. And I guess some of the denial has basically been based on the refusal to accept that any cost to the economy, but it's becoming more and more clear. And I think textbooks like what you put out make it very clear that unless we deal with these type of things, the economy and I guess all our social structures are seriously, seriously under threat.
They are. And, you know, we've heard about the Lismore in the news, you know.
Mm.
We're seeing examples of where towns and cities are actually thinking of not, actually relocating their CBD.
Yep.
So
yep.
We're getting this sort of extreme cases happening. And Lismore really stands out to me. I mentioned that in the book, of course. So, yes, no, I think it's important for people to realise that Australia's economy is really driven very much by its natural assets. If those natural assets are impacted by climate change, as the latest State of the Environment report would indicate, unfortunately, then that'll ricochet through the economy and it'll have an impact on things like tourism, which is important to Cairns here. It'll impact on agriculture, which is also important, and horticulture, so and fishery. So all of those are going to be affected. So we need to be thinking about wise ways of coming up with solutions to deal with it. Obviously, reducing emissions is the first caveat. You know, we've got the Paris Agreement, countries signed to that, and virtually the whole planet has signed up to that with different pledges for different time periods. We have a pledge now from both sides of the parliament for net zero by 2050. So we've already got the mechanism there. We now need to be thinking about focusing particularly on our energy distribution system. Electricity is where something that really should have started 10 years ago, the review and revision of that. Better late than never. It's going to have to happen now. And as time goes on, the price of electricity will come down because renewables are cheaper anyway.
Sure.
Despite what people say. So I think we're in a very exciting time. You know, I sometimes wish I was a more junior academic to capitalise on that. I'm getting a bit old now. But I do think Australia has got a fantastic future as a possibly a net energy exporter, renewable energy exporter. So there's a whole lot of things we could be doing and be world leaders on. So I'm actually very excited about that. I talk about that in the book as well.
Look, you know, congratulations on your efforts, you know, through this book to actually end the climate wars. And, you know, the country has decided to move on. We accept the science. It is time to actually, you know, start to do some serious stuff. And this government was elected very much on that platform. And you look at the success of even the Teal independence. And, you know, obviously it could not be clearer which way Australia wants to go. The science could not be clearer. Congratulations on surviving the climate crisis, Australians' perspectives and solutions, a brand new textbook. He's an adjunct professor in environmental geography at CQU. Steve Turton, a man with a real local connection as well to Cairns, been great to talk to you this morning, and well done on the new textbook.
Thank you, Murray. I really appreciate that feedback, and I'm really looking forward to its release on the 29th of December. That's when it'll hit the bookshelf, so it'll be available online as well. So thank you very much. Brendan Jonesy Jones and Amanda Keller.